Blog Talk Radio.
We have a death. Nathan Bedford Forrest, one of the great Confederate horse cavalry generals. And it's interesting, in the beginning of the American Civil War, it was the Southerners, the Confederacy, that had the better horsemen. Part of that was probably that whole agrarian lifestyle and living on the plantations and riding horses, although everybody rode horses, no automobiles in those days. But it took 2 years for the Union to get their act together and get horses. In fact, we get out of the Civil War, we get the Quitam Act, which is they were selling so many bad horses to the Union Army that Lincoln got PO'd. And came up with this suing the people, the purveyors who were selling the government these defective horse flesh. And, of course, people like George Custer were killing. He was a great cavalryman, great horseman, but he was a horse killer. They were killing 5,000 horses a month. You imagine that? And they weren't eating the horse meat like the British Army did at the Battle of the Somme, according to Colonel Trevor Hodges, whom I interviewed in his only interview that he ever did. But the Union got their act together, and they had great horsemen, General Sheridan, General Sherman, George Armstrong Custer, people like that. And just a fascinating part of our history, how horses, these were the American war horses. Also today, birthday of Dave Garraway, who featured on the Today Show on NBC, which was one of the best programs on TV at the time. Unfortunately, NBC, since General Electric bought them, they have gone downhill. Bob Crane did the TV comedy series Hogan's Heroes, his birthday. Jack Kemp, who was vice presidential nominee, and also the head of HUD, who referred to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development as a swamp, and it was. I had relatives that worked there, and I've had dealings with them on the request of whistleblowers here in California. If you like Star Wars, Patrick Stewart was born today. If you like to eat, Paul Prudhomme, the great New Orleans chef, or New Orleans as they say. And if you like movies, Harrison Ford, his birthday today. And he's been featured into a lot of these modern the American spy Persian and intrigue films. I think he was born in Illinois, as a matter of fact. And then Cheech and Chong, Richard Cheech, was born today. And among the deaths, we have Jean-Paul Marat in 1793. This is the classic. You never know who you're letting your when you're taking a bath. Never let your enemies into the bathroom. He was stabbed in the bathtub by Marie Cordray. Marat was one of the people who one of the individuals who started the Reign of Terror in France with Robespierre, Marat, and the other one, and they all had died. Either on the guillotine or in Marat's case, he was stabbed to death in his bathtub. One of the founders of the Republican Party, John C. Fremont, one of my ancestors rode with him here in California. The great Austrian Jewish ethnic composer Arnold Schoenberg died today. Lon Chaney Jr. died. Among the events today, if you like beer, get this, it wasn't the Germans that invented bottle beer. It was some dean at St. Paul's Cathedral in 1568. Of course, the people in England refer to beer as quaffing and stout. I can't drink any of that stuff. In 1787, in the Northwest Territory, after it was explored by Lewis and Clark, slavery was excluded, and of course we've had the Missouri, the Kansas-Nebraska Act, the Missouri Compromise, the long history of slavery and trying to prevent its expansion into the North, where it didn't work anyway. Of course, in Missouri, there's the famous case, the Dred Scott case, which brought the U.S. Supreme Court under Roger Taney, who was also the first Catholic to become Chief Justice of the United States. The famous Dred Scott case, where Dred Scott was a slave who escaped to Missouri, and his slave owner went after him, and there was this long, drawn-out court case that went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Dred Scott lost, but it embroiled the U.S. Supreme Court in one of the biggest controversies of its history, and we now have the controversy of Obamacare, which is interesting enough. John Roberts is a Roman Catholic. We don't know the role of the clerks back then in the Roger Taney Court, but we do know that even Roberts, in a candid moment, disclosed that the clerks are out of control in some of our courts, and it's happened here in the Ninth Circuit as well as up in the U.S. Supreme Court. And I had some personal experience with it. And having worked in the federal courthouse in Chicago, I'm very familiar with the workings of the courts. In 1832, we had the guy Henry Schoolcraft discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River, which is Lake Louise in Canada. On this day also, the locomotive wheel was patented, and that, of course, enhanced locomotives to last longer and to travel faster and further. Back to the Civil War in 1863, there were anti-draft riots in New York City, and there were people who were opposed to fighting a civil war, supposedly to free the slaves, and they lynched a lot of blacks. In fact, in the draft wars, you could buy when Lincoln instituted the draft or called for volunteers and didn't get enough, you could buy your way out of serving in the Union Army. And back to the West, in 1865, Horace Greeley coined the phrase, "Go West, young man." And of course, Westerners have regret the influx of these Easterners into California and the rest of the West. Brought a lot of problems with them, and we still see this today. And some people are saying, "Go back East, young man and young woman." In 1898, Marconi invented the radio, and of course, it had its big debut, or it showed its value at the sinking of the Titanic. When the Titanic struck that iceberg, radio wireless, as it was called, helped rescue the very ships that had it, helped rescue, came to the rescue of the survivors of the Titanic. Also, one of the founders of NBC, we talked about Dave Garraway earlier, was Robert Sarnoff, was a radio operator at the time. 1917, this is a big occasion and commemoration in a Roman Catholic Church liturgy. Our Lady of Fatima, in Fatima in Portugal, which was anti-clerical at the time, appeared to the three children, the two girls and one boy, and they were harassed by the authorities because Portugal was anti-clerical and anti-Catholic, and only the eldest, Lucia, I think, survived, and she became a nun, and she had possessed, so she said, three secrets which she gave to the Vatican. And one of them, supposedly, was that Russia would turn away from communism, and we see some of this today. We don't know if the other one of the secrets has not been revealed, and the Pope, I think the phrase in Latin is "in peccatore," has it close to his heart. In other words, he's holding it. He's phrase in Popper is keeping the cards close to you. And that's what the popes have done on this last secret disclosed by Our Lady of Fatima. There was also Our Lady of Lourdes, which was earlier. That was an apparition in Lourdes, France. These are all shrines that Roman Catholics who can afford to make pilgrimages to, just like the Muslims go to Mecca. In 1960, I remember, the Democrats nominated JFK, and of course he picked Lyndon Baines Johnson. And of course, Lee Iacocca was fired on this day by Henry Ford II. Iacocca was responsible for Ford developing the Mustang, which was probably their most popular compact car. Getting back to politics and presidential nominations and VP picks, I hear from my sources that Romney may be looking at a most unlikely U.S. senator as his pick. And this person is from a state that you wouldn't ordinarily think. And only once in our history has this state produced somebody who wanted to be president. So we'll leave it at that for now. And we will get into some of our other events today. We hear about Penn State's problems and pedophilia and the cover-up and ignoring the warnings that people were trying to inform the university that they had to do something about Sandusky. Well, that's only one instance of pedophilia occurrence in the United States. There are cases in New York with Orthodox Jews who are finally recognizing that some of their people have a problem with molesting children. And of course, it isn't usually they target girls. We hear about girls in the media, but boys are just as vulnerable and even more so, and they get less publicity, if any at all, in many cases. For instance, here in California, especially here in San Francisco, federal money under the Community Development Block Grant, funded by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, funded pedophile programs under the guise of teaching kids about gay, lesbian sex and why they should become transgendered. And one of the groups that got this money, an estimated $200,000 a year, was what we consider a domestic terrorist group called CUAB, Community United Against Violence, which was all BS because they have invaded the courts and openly solicited lobby jurists, especially in the Steve Neri case, and we'll put those stickers up. They were wearing these stickers in court, orange and black, saying stop picking on immigrants and stop the homophobia, all this kind of thing. And I personally had witnessed this along with another lawyer who was a spectator at the time. Also, this outfit CUAB have invaded other courts where there were trials. They've also trashed one of the state of California's buildings here in San Francisco, and the San Francisco Unified School District permitted them to come into the school district to teach kids about gay, lesbian sex, and also transgenderism. And of course, none of these people have been checked out for a criminal background or sexual predator background, and of course, they were protected by politicians. We also have the situation in the state legislature where Tom Amiano, who was one of those homosexual activists who came west from New Jersey, he was a teacher in the San Francisco Unified School District, and somehow he got on the school board. and he pushed the gay agenda in the San Francisco schools. Now he is in the state legislature and is on a committee which oversees legislation, proposed legislation, to more strictly monitor and prosecute teachers who molest children and who cover up the molestation. Had Sandusky been in California, he might have gotten away with this. But the legislation, proposed legislation to hold these teachers in the schools responsible for either cover-up or participation or preying on children was blocked by Tom Amiano, who is a homosexual activist and who doesn't belong there to begin with. But this is what's going on, and it's not only Roman Catholic priests, brothers, and nuns and bishops who have been involved in sexual predator illegal activity, molesting children, both boys and girls. It's Protestants, they're Jews, they're Muslims, and non-believers. Among the other issues that came up, which is quite interesting, over in Germany, one of their courts, I don't know which level, they have ruled, that German court has ruled that circumcision of boy, young baby boys is a violation of the baby's rights. And you have the Jews and the Muslims united on this one because they both practice this circumcision of boys. This is a violation, they claim, of their religious right to practice their religion. And it's a whole, it's an interesting argument that the BBC radio had featured, but they missed a couple of points. There are groups, especially here in the United States and in California, which are promoting foreskin restoral, which is also very dangerous. There have been accidents with circumcision. In fact, we ran a audio interview of on the circumcision issue, and it's interesting that a nurse who was of Jewish ethnic background, I think her name was London, lived in Marin County. She was one of the first medical personnel to speak out against circumcision. And we're not talking about female circumcision, which I still don't understand why they need to do this. It's a very brutal practice and doesn't help women. But it's an interesting argument. Also, the fact that nobody has looked at the military, that during World War One, because it was, American soldiers was coming down with venereal diseases, the military decided, the medical officials in the military decided it's time to circumcise or have circumcised military personnel. This went through to World War II. And in the Vietnam War, as a disciplinary measure, some of the officers, we hear these stories, were warning uncircumcised males who may have violated military law or an order were warning that they would get their flaps cut off or they would be circumcised. So it's a very interesting aspect. Also, for the British, they've forgotten their own history that when British army went into Muslim countries like Afghanistan and even parts of India, soldiers in one case, a whole regiment was captured. And everybody from the commander on down, the colonel, was stripped naked, and they were checked for circumcision. If they weren't circumcised, they were brutally half-circumcised, and that's where the term Christian dog comes from. That's the origin of it, we believe. I've heard from some Russian soldiers who were veterans of the latest Afghan war, that Russian soldiers who were captured by the Taliban, they weren't circumcised, were brutally circumcised. So it's quite interesting what goes on. Now, also in the Vietnam War, there was a thing called the Vietnam circumcision or Viet Cong circumcision, where they would castrate an American GI who wouldn't give information, or maybe they did it anyway. Now, we don't talk about that. We're going to be back Monday, and we'll have hopefully have more interviews. I'm going to play the interview I did with Sea Shepherd, which the world is beginning to hear about because they are former Greenpeacers who are much more militant in their approach and what their agenda is to protect marine wildlife such as whales, dolphins, and the like. And this is an interview I did at Western Public Radio, and we'll play it right now.
Hello, my friends. This is Peter Paul for another edition of Practical Tips for Pet Owners. That hum you hear and that hammering, it's an unusual noise. I don't usually do my shows from the bowels of a ship. I happened to pick this ship. It was tied up at Fort Mason. It's an unusual ship. It's not like your usual Greenpeace or anything like that. It's kind of a raggedy-looking ship that's done some weathering and had quite a bit of experience. It's called the Sea Shepherd. And my guest today is Paul Peswick from Boston. He's a member of a, what I could say, a kind of a motley environmentalist crew. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Paul, tell us a little bit about the Sea Shepherd.
The Sea Shepherd Conservation Society was founded by Paul Watson, who was one of the initial members of Greenpeace and was ran a number of operations for Greenpeace and was kicked out for being too militant by Greenpeace policies. And his feeling is that marine mammal exploitation should stop, and we are intending to stop it.
What do you mean by marine mammal exploitation?
Well, it's killing marine mammals.
Give us a specific, like fish or turtle.
We're talking about marine mammals. We're talking directly, the Sea Shepherd is directly involved with slaughter whales, dolphins, and seals. We've been interfering in different places around the world for the past 5-6 years.
Are there any domestic species that we see, that pet owners would see, like turtles or something?
Well, there's also a problem with sea turtles in that there's a big trade in shells, and they're also having problems reproducing with people stealing turtle eggs all the time. And it happens quite often down in Mexico and becoming endangered for that reason.
Tell us a little bit about the history of this ship. Before the program, you told me some interesting things. Let's pass it on to our listeners.
All right. First, this is the second Sea Shepherd, this ship here. The first Sea Shepherd was bought in January 79, interfered with the annual hot seal slaughter off Canada, Newfoundland, and we put red dye in the fur of about 1,000 baby seals to destroy the pelt value, to render them useless for slaughter. It's called a hunt. I do not care to call it a hunt. They're killing newborn pups who have no defenses. Also in 79, with the first Sea Shepherd, we rammed a whaling ship off Portugal, the most notorious pirate whaling ship.
There's such things in today's world, pirate whaling ships?
Yes, there are. When regulations were tightened up, fishing companies circumvented laws by registering in other ports. Countries that didn't care what the ships were catching, flagged the conveniences, similar to a lot of registration for oil companies. And they were taking any whale they could get, endangered or otherwise, taking choice cuts of meat, and discarding the rest.
One time, wasn't whale meat used for pet food?
Yes, and I believe some of it still is. I don't know any exact information, but the Japanese are still killing quite a few whales, and when they've factory processing ships, they take everything.
We're going to take a coffee break right here. We'll resume this interesting little interview next edition. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Paul.
This is part two that was merged.
This is Peter Paul again with another edition of Practical Tips for Pet Owners. That sweeping sound you heard was swabbing the decks. And we're here on board the Sea Shepherd, I don't want to call it Greenpeace-type ship, but they are environmentally oriented. And talking to Paul Peswick, the second engineering mate. Paul, tell us a little bit more about the Sea Shepherd organization.
Well, the Sea Shepherd was started in 79, as I mentioned, and it lost its first ship after the ramming of the pirate whaling ship. We now have a second ship, the Sea Shepherd 2.
Which we're on.
Which we're sitting in the mess right now. And with this current ship, we've investigated illegal whaling activities in the Soviet Union in August of 81, found evidence of it, and been presented to the International Whaling Commission. These are the California gray whales that are protected. And
you mean the Russians were ripping off our whales?
That's true. They are killing the gray whales under the allowance for native people to harvest whales and the government of the native people to harvest them for them. And they've been increasing the quota, and they're running commercial mink ranch on whale meat, and we found evidence of this.
Where is this mink ranch?
It is in Loren, in the Bering Sea, up in Siberia.
Oh, well, nobody wants to go up there.
Well, the whales go to these rich feeding grounds every summer, and this is where they gain weight, and they spend their summers, and the Soviets just slaughter them. And it's the only herd of the gray whales left. There originally were two herds, one on the West Pacific off Japan and Korea, that has been since wiped out, and it's only this herd that comes along the Californian coast every year and winters in Baja that is surviving. There's only about 10,000 of these members. And 10,000 may sound like a great number, but when you consider how many people live in San Francisco, 10,000 is not very much of a species.
Right, well, there are some strange species in this city. I'm looking at a poster of a white seal, the type that you see off of Nova Scotia. And it's a lovely poster. It's called Momentum. Paul, how can people get a copy of that poster?
Well, they can write to the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and the address is Post Office Box 48446, Vancouver, B.C., V7X182.
And you want to give that address again?
Sure. That's Post Office Box 48446, Vancouver, B.C., V7X182. And as for the seal poster, speaking of which, this is where we're heading next to interfere with the slaughter of seals off eastern Canada.
So you'll be running into the Canadian Coast Guard, I take it?
Yes, we've got a lot of experience with them. Actually, a little humorous point was our ship is named Sea Shepherd, and the last time we were up there, the Canadian Coast Guard ship that was shadowing us was called the Wolf.
Now, Dr. Michael Fox would not like those comments about wolves. How can people who are interested, who want to get away from the dull life in the city, how can they join your organization?
Well, they can write to the address I just gave and contribute to that. We're in dire need of funds. It's always very difficult raising money. It's a totally volunteer organization. There are no paid crew people, as in other organizations. And all
what are you looking for right now in qualifications?
Qualifications for people on board. We're looking for people with engineering experience or navigational experience or radio, people with a ham radio license, people who have experience at sea.
Okay, or will get experience or want to get it.
Right, and people get it pretty quick on board Sea Shepherd.
In our last minute, what practical tips or what advice do you want to offer to the audience out there?
Practical tips on what subject?
Environmental, or fish, or... this is an unusual program, but I'm sure you've encountered some unusual situations and can pass on some unusual advice.
Well, just make sure you know what you're doing. We're always getting into the midst of a confrontation. It's a difficult situation. Someone's got to do it, and we're learning from it all the time. People just have to pay attention to the situations as they develop.
That's animal and people-wise, I take it. This is Peter Paul with another edition of Practical Tips for Pet Owners, and we're on board the Sea Shepherd, and like the Good Shepherd watches over its sheep, so the Sea Shepherd is the shepherd at sea. This is KALW and Western Public Radio and Practical Tips for Pet Owners. Take care of that pet.
Now, we'll update the address. This was done a while ago, and we'll find still valid. And we'll end with our usual politics and poker. Politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Toss your pie. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We're gonna pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Enough.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like a
Buddha pick,
how to play, how to bet,
what's it all about?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet him.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Well, we'll be back Monday. This is Peter Paul Barzola. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, YouTube, or you can type in Barzola.com, BERZOLA.com, to go to our blog, AmicusVeritas.org. Good night.